Welcome to Belief, Being, and Beyond with your host, Granddaughter Crow.
Oh my God, I am so excited to be in circle once again with you two.
We're so excited to be here. We miss your face.
So guess what, listeners? I hunted these two crazy witches in the woodlands in Canada to bring them to you today to have fun. Please meet the missing witches.
Hi. Hello, listeners. This is the Amy voice and the Amy face for those of you who are watching on YouTube.
This is the Risa one. Hi.
I love it. And this is GDC. Yeah, you know me. So when we get together, it's just amazing. And it's like so much fun, so much camaraderie. But the one thing that I really, truly appreciate you two the most is you practice what you preach. You live the life that you throw down. And you throw down, well, you already have two books. We have the Missing Witches book, right there. And then we also have New Moon Magic. Absolutely. So they are artists, they are activists, and it was even said that they are the intersection between witchcraft and feminism. You got to check out www.missingwitches.com. You can join their coven, you can listen to their podcast. There's so many great things. But especially today, I really want to focus on something that you guys do every year. Let's talk about the reparations fundraiser. What's that about?
First of all, I want to say that I think that the Venn diagram of feminism and witchcraft is a circle. So let me just put that out there to begin with. Second, I want to thank you so much for introducing us as coming on to play. That's such an important thing for us in our practice, is like that experimental, no pressure, no stakes, let's try things kind of. And that's how we ended up, you know, doing a podcast and starting a coven and writing two books and doing a zine, because we were like, let's play, let's see and find out. And the fundraiser is definitely one of those let's see and play and find out. We were asked to speak at a Gnostic conference in Montreal. It was like one of the, we had just started the podcast, so it was really exciting for us to be invited to do that. And they wanted us to speak in front of a small paid crowd. And, you know, our whole project is about like this, like, de-hierarchizing of scholarship, like a common scholarship. And so we weren't super comfortable with that. So we negotiated, we'll do it for free, but it has to be open to the public. And it happened in a church. So we actually passed around the collection plate and took up donations for the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal. So that was sort of like our first act in the story. And then, you know, we did a panel of Indigenous thinkers on the subject of cultural appropriation, and we just wanted to kind of honor them. We're not in a position to pay our podcast guests. It's just not feasible. It's not possible for us, but we wanted to honor them. So we donated our meager earnings for the month to the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal in their honor, to thank them for coming to talk with us. And then the following year, we were like, well, let's see what else we can do with this. And let's see what else we can do with this. And I'm proud to say that it has been growing every year. We have raised more money than the last year. Fingers crossed this year, it'll be the same. Risa, do you want to talk about what it actually is now that I've given the long oral history of the Missing Witches Reparations Fundraiser?
Thanks for doing that. I forget how some of those bits are connected. Yeah, it's a reparations fundraiser. I mean, we are interested in the history of witchcraft and occulted and marginalized knowledge, a feminist history of ideas, maybe you could call it. And so much of that has been built on extraction from Indigenous communities. I mean, that's the history. That's the dark history of the New Age, right? Over every year, we want to do more to acknowledge it and also learn about it, learn from it. And then the magical thing for me or for us is like having an act of reparations built in to what has become our business and like this growing creative project has been such a source of joy and such a source of comfort. So now every May we donate all of our earnings from all of our subscription earnings. So our entire community contributes. Everyone who is a supporter of the community is donating their membership funds basically that month through us. And that's always in May. And then we organize conversations around Indigenous futurism. So part of that is sort of the joy of reparations is like, this can be about building possible futures together. This can be about learning from each other, what the future could be and insisting upon hope and community and not getting stuck in that sort of shame spiral of how shit it was that our ancestors stole and murdered from each other, you know? So there's that. And then we also, it became this big active community. So all of these people in the broader witch community were like, yeah, fuck, I get that. Let me be a part of that too. And so they donate prizes. GDC has donated prizes every year, like a queen. Sarah Gottesdiener, Amanda Yates Garcia, sort of like bigger voices in the social media witch, political witchcraft kind of scene. Have been so supportive and so rad. And yeah, now it's a big community of people who donate classes and prize packs, Jinx Monsoon, Queen of All Queens. And then folks, basically, you just make a donation to the Indigenous support org that is local to you, or if you want to be like a magical witch at a distance and support our Indigenous support org, donate to the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal. We have loved and supported that organization for a long time, since before the project. You make a donation of $10 or more, and every $10 gets you a raffle ticket. And then everybody who donates gets a discount code to House Witch in Salem or online. They have super sweet witchy goods. And that's kind of the state of the project today. And we're about to do it again in May, and we're really excited about it.
Let's not just talk about witches. Let's use our understanding, not to cover up the past, but to learn from it to create a future. And I love that. So if somebody wants to find out more, just go to, you know, missingwitches.com, and all of the information is there. So you guys, you have to check out the Missing Witches podcast. GDC says, we don't practice magic. We throw that shit down. And that's one of our biggest statements, as well as blessed fucking be. I love it. I love it. I love it. So tell them a little bit more about like what can they expect from the Missing Witches podcast in May? What are they missing out if they don't show up?
Yeah, this podcast season in May, it's conversations around Indigenous futurism. So GDC will be back. Edgar Fabian Frias, incredible artist and thinker. Christopher Marmolejo from The Red Reed, The Red Tarot, incredible queer tarot, divinatory, decolonial theorist, will be back. Amour Lynx, Amanda Amour Lynx, who has also been on the show, beautiful, insightful multimedia artist. I mean, Asha Frost is coming back, creator of such a beautiful deck and oracle book and interpreter of the world. And they're people who we have been in conversation with before and just come together. Their conversations with maybe one or two guests. So it's just a time in the month where we just get to watch those relationships being woven, watch those ideas come together and accumulate, and support the fundraiser, support the sort of communal act of reparations, but together talk about the future. What does an Indigenous-centered future look like? What does Indigenous futurism have to tell a world right now that is war-torn and devastated and experiencing system collapse? this is when we need our leaders. And so we need to turn to each other and be kind to each other and encircle each other with care and listen to each other. So that's what May will be about.
And throw that shit down.
And we'll just throw that shit down with GDC. Yeah.
Ideas, but like witchcraft isn't an ideology. It's a praxis. It's a practice. It's what we do, you know, and obviously philosophy and ideas and visions are all part of that. But ultimately, we practice witchcraft. That's what we do. We do it. We throw it down.
Love that. I absolutely love that. And, you know, one of the really important aspects, and I'll give you a little background. The reason why, as an Indigenous person, that what they're throwing down is so powerful, it's not only that they are supporting, you know, the Indigenous community. It's not only that they are not going to stop a conversation because it's uncomfortable or like, you know, the shame spiral. What it does is it takes people in the red body and gives them a voice where they have to start answering questions that they never even asked themselves. It was just a few years back. Somebody asked me, oh, do you want me to call you Indigenous? What do you First Nation? What do you want? And I'm like, well, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I need to represent, but I haven't had those conversations internally. Giving ourselves permission to be able to come to the table with a voice, and not only the Indigenous community, there's so many other communities out there, but really focusing on the Indigenous community in May, it's really powerful to me because as a panelist, I'm like, what's the PC thing to say? And then it's like, no, it's not about the PC thing to say. It's not about the white body thing to say. It's about the red body thing to say. And it's really interesting because what I'm saying is behind the curtain. Sometimes I don't know how to answer those questions because I haven't had that conversation internally, but you guys are bringing those conversations to the table. So what do you think about that?
I think that is so interesting and so important to highlight because the flip side of like marginalizing, silencing, all of that work is the sort of fetishizing, the like, you know, like putting people on a pedestal and overgeneralizing who they are and what they think and saying, this is what they need. And so we will sell them, you know, and so disrupting that even for ourselves in our own minds to be like, you and I do not have to represent a body of ideas. You don't have to speak for a culture. You don't have to speak for your tribe. You don't have to speak for all people who have been, you know, removed from their land. You don't have to speak for all urban Indigenous people. You don't have to speak for all. Please just tell us your truth. And let's start there. Because like, I mean, this is something we come back to on the podcast a lot, but like, tell the truth. It's the most powerful spell we can cast. And it takes work to find out what that fucking truth is, even in ourselves, even our own bodies. And so to get to be in circle with people who are willing to tell us their truth and to try to make a space where that feels okay is really important, magical work, I think.
Yeah. And a large part of our podcast is doing interviews, and we've done hundreds at this point. And often people will say like, well, you know, I don't speak for the whole fill in the blank community. And we tell them, like, we gather perspectives one at a time. We're gathering perspectives one at a time. And just like Risa said, like, we want to know what you think. And that's why we've given you this microphone, not so that you can, you know, solve all the world's problems or so that you can give us the one right answer that we've been looking for. We just want to hear your story. Like, we believe so much in the healing power of storytelling, not just like personal healing, but the rippling global healing of storytelling. And so that's what we want. We just want to hear what you think.
I'll just let my last thought on this, or like, that's a lie because I have a million more, but is just that, you know, we started the project and called it Missing Witches because from a very like personal place, we are missing these voices. Like, we went looking for them to learn Like, it's a project of self-education. So we do specifically want to learn from you every time we get to sit with you, GDC. I mean, even getting to read on dialogue with you in those initial, you know, circles that GDC used to bring together was really eye-opening for me as a way of thinking about the power of conversation and what we do in podcasts. And so to get to be here with you and see your own podcast and the way that you cherish those conversations is so fucking awesome. The end.
Did you just say the end? That was adorable. That was adorable. And in the next question, we'll open up the next book with The Missing Witches and start in the beginning. I love it. I really think that you guys must be psychic, because that was one of my things. I was like, why The Missing Witches? What is this about? And now I get it. It's just like, yeah, those parts that were silenced, those parts that were hidden, hidden in decks of cards and hidden in jewelry pendulums and hidden. And not only just hidden from society, but hidden from ourself. And when they tell us that we have to hide ourself from ourself, that is when they, whatever they be, has control. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So the new moon magic, 13 anti-capitalistic tools for resistance and re-enchantment. Re-enchantment. That just...
I want to talk about the word missing first. It's so many things. It's like, Risa, what you talked about, like, this is missing from me, and GDC, what you talked about, like, this is hidden. And also, before we started the project, we would discover these, you know, women mostly, and we were like, how come I've never heard of this person? Like, Risa and I both have post-secondary education, you know, like, there's no reason that we shouldn't have heard of these people when all of the men around them seem to be a lot more famous than they were. And this, we see this over and over and over again. So I just wanted to add that to the cauldron of missing, like, all of the ways that witches are missing from our education, missing from our conversations, missing from, you know, that place deep inside of our guts that we wanted to find and retrieve. Oh, re-enchantment.
Yeah, so the idea of, like, the disenchantment of modernity is sort of a philosophical thing that comes up. Charles Taylor, lots of people like to write about it, how, you know, we're in this time where we've been sort of broken from each other, broken from community, broken from our folktales, broken from our ecosystems, and so we're sort of industrialized and we're missing enchantment. But then there's also this writer, Silvia Federici, who we love, this sort of Marxist feminist writer about the witch trials and the history of the burning times. And she explicitly makes the connection between, you know, the taking of common lands and then the resistance that came up to the closing of the commons, the theft of the commons, and the imposition of the witch trials. And she sort of sees it all around the world as part of the history of colonialism, that a way to control resistance from lower classes and generally from women, and often grandmother age women, they didn't have kids anymore and they were angry, was to reposition them as hag or as witch. And that's just one part of the story. But that piece is really important. And then she writes about the re-enchantment of the world. So she writes about that history, but then she also says, in the cracks in the pavement, another world is growing. And she ties that to mutual aid, and she ties it to a cherishing of the commons, and not just a land-based commons, which is core, you know, land back and indigenous stewardship is core, but she also ties it to our sharing of our stories and our rituals and our magic, the ways that we weave community to each other. And so for us, when sort of reading those threads through her, it was incredibly electrifying into the way that we saw our work too, that we see, like, going after these missing stories of these real people. We want to know real artists, painters who practice the occult. We want to know feminist anarchists who did. We want to know feminist theorists and scientists who have a way of looking at what's possible in the world at the edges of what the sciences currently know. We love it.
I want your podcast listeners to know that They are creative beings. I want your listeners to know that human evidence of art making goes back like 45,000 years that we know of. This is just like what we have, you know, seen and dated with science and excavation. So I want you to know that creativity is at the very deepest part of your human DNA. And we have commodified creativity, especially these days. If your hobby isn't, you know, on Etsy, then literally people will tell you that you're wasting your time, or what's the point, or what are you doing? So I want to go back to how you opened. I want your listeners to know that they can play, that they can go and, you know, pick up some grass from the ground and see what it feels like in their hands and smell it and rub their hands together and then look at the color traces that are left on their palms. It doesn't have to be fine oil paints and horsehair brushes. Like, just get out of your head and your body and like make something, play, be creative. Your creativity is such a core piece of your humanity that I wish that we didn't, it wasn't so tied to capitalism and, you know, having to make sure that everything that you do makes money because otherwise you can't eat or pay your rent. I would love for everyone just to even snatch back 5 minutes of play and creative freedom, I guess, is the message that came out today.
I'll just add, I think so much of how we live in the industrialized West is really isolating and really lonely. And I just want you to know you're not alone. If you were, you know, a weird kid who wanted to hug trees, or if you were bullied, or you're in a shit relationship where you don't feel safe, or you're in a neighborhood or community where for you to wear black and howl at the moon would put you in danger. I mean, we have a coven of 300 people. We see more stories like this than I ever really could have imagined. And it's more all the time. And so it's really become part of our mission to make a space or make communities or tell stories that insist upon the fact that you are not alone.
Let's come out and play. We can all go on Zoom, listen to the Missing Witches podcast, check out their coven, check out what they're doing, play. But also, this playfulness can also bring enlightenment, history, empowerment, community, and connection. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening and watching another podcast of Belief Being and Beyond. Please review. And if you want to check out our lovely faces, we're on YouTube. Like, subscribe, and share. So how do we like to end your podcast? Blessed fucking be, witches.
And blessed fucking
be.